Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
But they never wanna leave.
It says nothing about private property, so I don't know why we're even talking about this ordinance, because it has nothing to do with House Bill 1365, other than the fact that maybe we want to make it the same on private property as we do on public property.
This is Charles Baer, City Councilmember Charles Baer for the Pensacola City Council, talking about the proposed camping ban. I'm going to call it Camping Ban A. Because there's a camping ban A that was on the agenda and then a camping ban B. Camping ban B was the one that was designed to give local law enforcement, PPD, enforcement authority to remove people from camping overnight in public areas. That one is enforcement language to mirror House Bill 1365 that the state passed. That's the one we've been talking about so much. So the B one is the one that gives the local law enforcement the ability to do things to avoid getting sued come January 1st, when that law gives people the ability to sue the city for not removing homeless people from public areas like parks and rights of way and things like that. The A bill is the one that the city added on to make it illegal to camp in front of or on business properties, commercial properties, and also to camp on private property unless you get permission from the homeowner. Okay, so we're talking about A, and one of the important things about A was that prior to the meeting, it wasn't in the backup, which is kind of annoying. You had to learn it by listening to the meeting, but good for the city. They took off the part about banning people from sleeping in their cars. Remember, we had talked about how this question of, you know, somebody could basically, you know, if they're sleeping in their car at the Walmart overnight, the way the ordinance seemed to be written, it would allow that person to get trespassed for that, or, you know, or get in the process of moving towards a citation. And, you know, there's also a part of the bill that said that the police officer had to judge that they were in a pattern of behavior that indicated they were staying there longer term and they were camping. So one night maybe wouldn't have gotten you the citation. But that was the thing we were kind of worried about. Well, they deleted that part. So the staying in your car overnight part has been removed from the bill entirely, from the ordinance entirely, which is, I thought, good news. Because I thought that part was particularly concerning since we have so many people that live homeless in a car. Anyway, so Charles Baer says, we're going way beyond what the state law requires, and we're actually, you know, banning people from camping on private property, because that was the other part of it, is it would prohibit people from, you know, camping in their backyard or allowing somebody to camp there, or even on a private property that doesn't have a house. And there was a lot of conversation about this, and so we'll get to all of it, but that was kind of the beginning of it, is the B, you could argue, was being done in order to give enforcement teeth to state law. The A was going well beyond state law by banning camping on all commercial property, period, and on, you know, residential property without permission.
You know, it leaves up to law enforcement officer, the code enforcement officer, to determine in light of the circumstances participants are doing these things. You know, I could be grilling in my backyard. That's technically a violation of this. You know, if the code enforcement officer showed up and I was grilling back there, he could accuse me of camping in my own yard. And, you know, he or she wouldn't, but it's very vague. This really doesn't have anything to do with House Bill 1365, even though the mayor said it did. It prohibits public, so I will not be supporting this tonight.
And I think, you know, it seems unlikely that Charles Baer grilling in his backyard would get a citation, but his point was that, you know, having an open flame on a residential property or anywhere in connection with a pattern of behavior that would justify it, you know, being called camping, you could get in trouble under this ordinance, and you're basically depending on the good judgment of the code enforcement officer or the law enforcement officer to make that not happen. And you never want to have laws that are essentially dependent on the officer's judgment, because then you don't know whether you're in violation. They can, it's not a problem with our law enforcement or our code enforcement. It's a problem that law should be clear. right? You should be able to know at any given time, am I or am I not in violation? And if the key element of violation is the judgment of the officer, that starts to look less like clear law and more like, well, depends on the person, right? Delarian Wiggins, who does not talk very much, but is a former sheriff's deputy, I believe is correct. Anyway, he's a former law enforcement officer.
And as Councilman Bear says, it's very vague. I don't want to see an additional 50-plus homeless people now. They move them in on this particular piece of property. I won't be supporting this tonight because it doesn't define, one, how many will that property owner be allowed to have on that property. Two, it doesn't give a time span as far as how long they will be able to be on that property. And so this particular agency is already clearing out property in the event that, you know, something happens and he will be allowed to have an additional 50 people living on this particular property. This is in a disenfranchised community, it's in a black community, and I'm not going to stand here and allow that to happen.
And that was a similar criticism that was brought up by Tenya Day Broughton is, you know, y'all are continuously shoving these problems into our, you know, basically our poor black communities. Building a homeless shelter is great. Why has it always got to be in our district? You know, and so it's not an unfair criticism to observe this, but I particularly appreciate what Delarian Wiggins is saying is this seems to be expanding the power of camping in residential areas. It was a point that Jen Brayer, another city councilwoman, seized upon because, yes, the vagueness, the inconsistency, and, you know, she was glad that they took out the vehicles part. But she basically says, look, it seems like what you're doing is making it easier to have homeless camping on residential property because all it takes is for somebody to say, oh, yeah, I give them permission and you got a house and then there's 40 people in the backyard in your subdivision that are homeless living in somebody's property. And she says, that doesn't seem great to me.
And can I just buy a piece of property in residential area and then hand it off and say everybody can camp here? And because I said so, there's no sewage, there's no water. And that's why I was asking earlier to look at sanitary conditions. I think the state has demands that has to have sanitation, has to have running water, has to have a formal bathroom, things like that. And that is where I just think the private property, I'm scared, it's actually opening us more than we are now.
Yeah, I mean, one concern about these bans is that they're too restrictive and makes it so that there's nowhere for homeless people to live. The other side is that maybe this one is too permissive and actually makes it far too easy for people to camp on a private property. And you're just going to have these pop-up nomad lands in, like she says, in residential subdivisions because you can't stop it because there's no time limit. There's no requirement of, you know, having good access to water, sanitation. Now, because right now, if you camp on your own yard, you have to be able to go in the house. That's one of the rules, is you can't camp on your house's property unless you have access to the bathroom inside. Now, if I remember, and I apologize, I watched this a couple of days ago, and the detail here escapes me. This is all a first reading, so this is not in effect. I think that she proposed an amendment which said they have to be able to have access to the interior, you know, just like the current ordinance. And I think that was adopted. It did pass 5-2. So Delarian Wiggins, sometime between his early comments and his later comments, said yes. Jen Brayer and Charles Bear both said no. But again, this will come up again for second reading. And it's an interesting problem. We'll talk with Mayor D.C. Rears about this as well, because we've talked about this with him several times, of whether this is not too permissive of where homeless people can go. It's really harsh against them on commercial property. It might be too allowing of them on residential property, weirdly, even though it's designed to make it so that they can be removed from residential properties, or particularly from, you know, like zoned residential but doesn't have a house on it. You know, kind of the vacant undeveloped land is another problem area. That's a very common place for homeless people to stay, or a vacant home that has been built but nobody's in it, and so it's really hard to figure out who the owner is. There's kind of all these nuances to what enforcement this is going to allow. But again, this was first reading, and it did pass with some changes. Again, I think those were the changes that were put in place. The other one was the one that mirrors the state language. And here again, that's the HB, this is the B bill, okay, the HB 1365 bill. And I think Charles Baer asked a good question. I do think he got the answer. He didn't agree with the answer, but I do think he asked the right question, which was, if this is a state law, why do we have to pass a law here locally? State laws can be enforced because they're state laws. We don't need to pass a separate law locally. So he was asking, and Adam Cobb, the city attorney, answered him.
Do you know of anything within this law that requires us to pass an ordinance?
The law provides a private right of action to businesses, citizens, who want to make the argument that somebody is camping on public property and the city is not doing everything within their power to move them. So while it does not explicitly require an ordinance, it does require cities and counties to have in place a method by which to enforce that prohibition or face the threat, the legal authority of being sued in a civil action to force that.
So the argument here is, look, we have to, by January 1st, be in a position to avoid getting sued by individuals or companies for not enforcing the ban on public camping. And that means putting a law in place that gives our code enforcement or law enforcement actually something they can do to make that happen. Otherwise, we're going to get sued and we're going to lose because we're not doing what we're supposed to do under the state law. And, you know, this, but so there's an answer, and that answer does make sense. And Charles Baer disagreed with that, but that was the answer. And, you know, Allison Patton said, no, they're right. I mean, that's a problem because, you know, we don't want to wait to get sued. Some people in the audience had suggested, why don't we, you know, wait and see like some of the other municipalities are doing? Well, you wait and see, you get a lawsuit, you see if you win. If you win because the law is deemed unconstitutional or because of whatever reason, it still costs you the money to defend. And if you lose, well, now you're out the lawsuit, you're out the money. I mean, you know, so it's not a great position to be in to just say, we'll wait and see. But, and I say this with, I mean, all sincerity, if you really believe the state law is unjust, okay, like if you really are convinced in your heart that pushing people off of camping in the parks, for example, or camping on a right-of-way, you know, underneath a overpass or something like that, common situations that the state law addresses. If you think that that's unjust, then you might say, look, it's wrong for us to try to enforce an unjust law. We're just going to have to wait and get sued and take it to court and show that it's an unjust law, and the state's going to get spanked. And somebody's got to do it. We might as well be the ones to do it. The problem is, in the wake of the Oregon law that got upheld by the Supreme Court, it seems likely this is going to be upheld. And so as a city, you're in the position of needing to make a decision about enforcing a law that's probably going to withhold judicial scrutiny. And do you want to be the ones bucking it and paying the price? Or do you want to be the ones who are enforcing it and avoiding paying that price? And, of course, you know, our city has made the choice to enforce it. On a 6-1 vote, they wound up passing this. But there is one other sort of problem with this law, so to speak, and it goes in conjunction with the A and the B, and it's the where are these people going? Everybody knows we don't have the right kind of shelters for everybody. We don't have a camp area which is designed to be put in place by the state law. The county hasn't made a single step in that direction that anybody can tell. So there's no place to put them unless you find shelters. And so the city is basically going to be in the position of, if they really enforce, basically pushing all the homeless people, both from private and from commercial, and then also from public, into the county. And then what's the county going to do with them? Well, that's the problem. Of course, now we learn that the county has got an ordinance that they are going to look at on Thursday, tomorrow morning. They have a meeting, and they are going to try to pass the version of the B bill also, banning it from public areas, giving the Escambia County Sheriff's Office teeth to move people off of the public areas. So if that passes, and if the city one passes on second reading, it will be illegal in the entire county, kind of like it is already under state law. But you'll have local law enforcement teeth to move people out. And where do they go? Well, that's the question. Where do they go? 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you get a chance, go out and look west. The moon is huge this morning. It's massive on the western horizon. I don't know if it's technically a full moon. I always feel like I get this wrong. It's like they tell me, well, it's tomorrow. Okay, I don't care. It looks massive, and it's very, very big. Okay, let's put it that way. Hey, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great inventory for you. Good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old. You know, 10 to 60, 50,000 miles, that kind of vicinity. Cars that you're going to buy have had maybe one or maybe two owners, and then you're going to drive them for 5 or 10 years or 15 years like I do, and then you're going to get another one. And Frontier warranties them to 100,000 miles. They stand behind their cars. That's one of the reasons I really like them is because, you know, you're really getting good quality used cars that come with that confidence that they're going to stand behind it. And, of course, good deals. 300 on the lot. You can test drive as many as you like. You can look in as many as you like. If they have what you want, buy it. If they don't have what you want but they're close, they can go looking for it. They go looking for cars all the time for people. If you've got one to sell, they'll buy it from you. I mean, they are a comprehensive, good, relatively new used car place to buy or to sell. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Two things, okay? Shut up.
Man, we just recently rewatched this. The actual movie, not the whatever they did to remake it. it's a pretty good movie. It's fairly good. You know, it definitely paints religious people in a certain light. But, you know, sometimes religious people deserve to be painted in a certain light. And, you know, in the end, it comes around, right? 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's actually kind of a, you know, you remember, have you watched Footloose in a long time, John?
No, I haven't.
Okay, have you seen the movie?
Oh, I have seen the movie,
okay.
Yes.
You know at the end when he goes to the city council meeting and he's pleading with them to allow them to have the prom, basically, you know, and the town, this is all this conservative religious town, has been, you know, telling them they can't dance because dancing is bad and God hates dancing or whatever. And he sits there and reads from the Bible passages about, you know, David dancing and dancing before the Lord and making a joyful noise. See, that's why I really love the movie is because underlying whatever else you might say about it is this kind of biblical worldview that they both sides believe should be acknowledged. And so the argument is, who's doing it more biblically? That's a great place for society to be. You know, we're not really in that place right now. But it's kind of a, you know, whatever you think of the way that movie portrayed religious people, the underlying worldview of the movie is religion is good, and God is good, and you should care what he says about things.
You think a lot, don't you?
I definitely do. Oh, man, I used to do movie reviews back in Phoenix forever, and I love doing movie reviews, talking about the not just the thematic content of movies, the below the superficial ratings, which are so useless for understanding whether a movie's worthwhile or not. Who cares if it's R or PG? That's not the issue. The issue is, you know, what is it promoting? What is it teaching? What is it encouraging you to believe in? Those are the things that really matter. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, more than 90 people are still unaccounted for in Western North Carolina as cleanup from Helene continues there. That was the word yesterday from Governor Roy Cooper, who gave an update on how their communities are recovering so far. Voters out in full force in Georgia. The chief deputy there says about 300,000 people showed up to cast ballots. Yesterday was their first day of early voting. The latest report here in Florida says so far about 600,000 ballots have already been returned. And Memorial.
When do we start early voting? Is it Monday?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
16, 17, 18, yeah, Monday. Okay, go ahead.
And there's a memorial service for Kennedy family matriarch Ethel Kennedy being held in Washington, D.C. today. She died last week after a stroke. Her funeral was held in Massachusetts Monday, and Joe Biden will deliver a eulogy today.
So she was Bobby's wife, right? Bobby's widow, I believe.
So, yeah.
And she never remarried. So she's been living this, you know, 56 years, roughly, as a widow of Bobby Kennedy. That's amazing.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Donald Trump in Atlanta last night touching on energy.
We will frack, 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 and drill, baby, drill.
Earlier in the day, he had a different message for a different group of people.
Harris Faulkner's town hall with former President Donald Trump is focusing on issues impacting women ahead of the election. Now, the women in attendance were Georgia residents who asked questions on the economy, public safety, and immigration.
Fox's Brooke Singman. The town hall airs at 11 a.m. Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Vice President Harris in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is outside of Philadelphia. It's her 11th trip to the Keystone State this election cycle. And the vice president sits down for an exclusive interview that airs tonight on Special Report of Brett Baer on the Fox News Channel. That's at 6 p.m. Eastern. And the Navy is searching for two crew members who are missing when their aircraft went down last night east of Mount Rainier in Washington State. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 56 degrees. Nice and cool this morning. Clear skies here in Pensacola. Pensacola police have made an arrest for a church burglary. And they say more charges could be pending. 20-year-old Jeremy Lang was arrested Monday on multiple charges, including burglary, drug and firearm charges, and possession of burglary tools. Police say they found Lang walking near the location of a previous church burglary that happened. Officers say he matched the description of a suspect they had been looking for. Seven churches had been reported to be burglarized between late September and mid-October. Lang is charged with one of those burglaries, and PPD says charges are pending on some of the others as well. He's currently being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. Well, it's the official sign that fall is here, the Pensacola Interstate Fair kicking off tomorrow. The fair opens on Thursday with Dollar Day from 4 to 11 p.m., admission is $1 for ages 4 and up. Rides also $1 each. As for the entertainment tomorrow, our sister station, Cat Country, running their big lip sync battle on the main stage. That'll start at 7. The fair runs through October 27th. They've got several big name performers that'll be there in that time, including Chris Jansen, Easton Corbin, Aaron Tippin, Neil McCoy, and the White Tie Rock Ensemble. The investigation continues into a shooting at Chimes Way Park near North W Street last weekend.
At this point, it looks like it was not random. It was intentionally targeting those individuals that were in that car. Two males were hit. One of them is deceased, and one of them, as I understand, is still hospitalized.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons there. He says the victims had been at a bar downtown earlier in the night. And then they went to Chaser's Bar, and when they were leaving there, they got about a block away out of the parking lot when another vehicle pulled up and started shooting. Simmons says they do have some information on potential suspects, but they're asking anybody with information on this case to contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. The Small Business Administration is reportedly out of money for its disaster loan program after Helene and Milton.
The Small Business Administration provides low-interest loans to not just businesses, but also to homeowners and renters. But as of Tuesday, it said it was hitting pause on those loans after running out of cash, something that it had been warning about for weeks.
That is Tony Waterman there, and President Biden and other Democrats have asked House Speaker Mike Johnson to call Congress back into session, but Johnson says it can wait until Congress returns next month. after the election. Estimated insured losses from Hurricane Milton now approaching $2 billion. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation said yesterday that estimate is now just under $1.9 billion. About 150,000 claims have been filed as of yesterday. 2,000 of those have already been closed with payments made, but about 6,000 have been closed without payments at this time. It's 534 News Radio, 92.3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Breezy day today with temperatures warming up near 68 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. As you go into Thursday, high near 70 degrees with sunny skies. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Going to be keeping the sunny weather around for Friday with a high near 73 and a low near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 56 degrees right now in Pensacola, 58 in Gulf Breeze, and 56 in Milton. Your next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Murray with your money now. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield wavered slightly as bond traders digested the latest comments from Federal Reserve officials this week. The 10-year Treasury yield slipped over one basis point to 4.021%. The 2-year Treasury yield was last 3.941%, also declining over one basis point. Walgreens reported fiscal fourth quarter sales and profit that beat Wall Street expectations, reflecting the company's efforts to slash costs. The retail drugstore chain also said it plans to close roughly 1,200 stores over the next 3 years. The National Retail Federation said it expects consumers to spend more during the upcoming holiday shopping season, but the growth in sales will be slower. The agency predicts that shoppers will spend up to $989 billion between November and December. This would represent a 3.5% year-over-year increase. Spending increased 3.9% in 2022. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, as we typically do on a Tuesday, we had Sheriff Chip Simmons here in studio with us, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. Anything overnight we need to know about before I forget to ask? I sometimes forget to ask. Anything incidents, big incidents happen overnight?
No, I just checked. Nothing significant happened overnight, which is
great.
Good,
right? Best news, yeah. We're not looking forward to a press conference later today. So yeah. Seems like it happens often enough. Let's start with this. I think it turned out to be not much of a story, but there was a threat maybe last week against it. I wasn't sure whether it was Success Academy or Achieve Academy or what was the situation here. Is this?
Yeah, there was a 13-year-old that was upset about missing the bus and made some threats to shoot up the school. So we responded I'll be honest, I don't know if we arrested the individual as a 13-year-old. Okay. So a lot of times we work with the schools and try to figure out what's the best avenue for that. If you know, if someone brings a weapon to school, they're going to be right. be charged. Or if there's some you know, attempt to move towards a threat, move and I guess carry out that threat, then we would make an arrest. But I don't know what the outcome of this one, because the student, okay. as I understand it, was already in some trouble, you know, from some past stuff. I think they were adding that to the past trouble.
Okay, and this is a school that typically serves like kids who have already had trouble at regular school, right? I mean, second chance kind of schools. A lot of
times. Yeah. It's not the typical school that you would send your children to.
A pickup truck was found in the Escambia River near Bluff Springs Recreation Area.
Yeah, there was a report that I think it was a red pickup truck, looked like half it was submerged, and so they gave us a call up there around Century, and we sent our dive team out there because our concern was that someone may have crashed into that. Or there was some evidence, maybe it was stolen and that sort of thing. But we got up there and it was really nothing to it. No one, unfortunately, no one was injured in the truck. They pulled the truck out and I guess returned to the owner.
And not in a weird enough position or place that it really needs explanation, except for it is weird for somebody to drive their truck into the river and leave it.
And bail on it. Yeah.
But I mean, I see boats like this all the time, so maybe it's not that weird for the truck. I don't know. Depends on the quality of the truck, I suppose. Sunday morning, we had a shooting near Chimes Park on W Street. Two people were shot. Is that right?
Yeah, it looks now like there was two cars involved. One car had been reported to be downtown at a bar, and then they moved to, I think it's Chaser's Lounge up in that area. And when they left that parking lot about a block or so away, another car pulled up to them and just started shooting. At this point, it looks like it was not random. It was intentionally targeting those individuals that were in that car. Two males were hit. One of them is deceased, and one of them, as I understand, is still hospitalized.
Mm. And so do we have any leads particularly?
We do have some leads.
Okay.
We have some information. Obviously, we're asking if anyone has additional information to give us a call and let us know. But at this point, the investigation continues, and we're working towards some resolution.
Okay. This was, to me, one of I find I have gotten a little bit accustomed to the drugs and gangs and retaliation. And, you know, in your brain, you try to categorize these things. And, you know, domestic is in the one hand and crime and gangs and drugs are on the other hand. This is one where I think, my God, you know, this kind of stuff, because it seems like it could sort of happen to anybody. You had, a minor traffic collision. And then the people who were on the one side of the traffic collision got in an argument with the other one, and they followed him home and shot him. What happened here?
Yeah, sometimes we get varying stories about what took place, but as we understand
put all of this within the asterisk.
Yeah. Let me go backwards.
Correct. Okay.
There's three teenagers at a man's house over off Fairfield, and he ends up getting shot and killed. So there are several shots fired at this individual.
So three teenagers plus him.
Yes. Three teenagers, and then he was there. Two of the teenagers apparently shot at him, and then they fled. So they're from Santa Rosa County.
Okay.
And then as we go back, and we say, okay, what took place? And the understanding is that there was their vehicle got into a fender bender or a traffic accident with the victim, the ultimate victim.
Okay.
And they followed him to the house. Why? I don't really know. I don't know why they don't call law enforcement and report this thing, this traffic accident. But the bottom line is they found themselves, or they went to intentionally, to this house where a shooting occurred, and an individual is dead, and two teenagers are charged with the homicide.
And we don't. Was it the fender bender that led to them meeting and getting into a fight? Was there a pre-existing relationship?
The claim is that there was a crime
involved aside from this?
The claim is that there was a fender bender that led to them, we'll follow you to the house. Now, why they went there, I'll get you money, I'll pay for it, or whatever we're going to do, I don't know the complete details of that story. But the story goes there was a fender bender, and that led to the house. All I know is that a man is dead.
Yeah.
And two teenagers from Santa Rosa County were charged with it.
And let's be real clear. Don't bring people to your house to give them money that are total strangers that you bump into. I mean, it's the kind of thing you can understand. Like maybe somebody's not insured and they think they're going to avoid problems. They don't want to call the cops because they're uninsured or, you know, whatever. But you put yourselves at risk when you don't go through the official process, right?
Yeah. Again, I'm not sure I'm buying all this.
Okay. You know, fair enough.
To be honest. So that's okay. All I can say.
All right. Fair enough. We had an inmate at the jail, kill another inmate. And it seemed to me like maybe they were in the infirmary at the time. What happened here?
Yeah. My understanding is there were two individuals that were in the infirmary. There was a 36-year-old Jorge Velasquez was in with a 42-year-old victim. Ultimate victim. They were in the infirmary at the jail. They got into a...
Which is quite big. The old infirmary was tiny. The new infirmary is enormous. Or at least it's a large space, yeah.
Yeah, but I understand they were sharing a cell.
Okay.
I mean, again, a lot of people were in the infirmary at any given moment. They were in a cell. And the victim suffered some head injuries. And originally, we charged them. We don't run the jail, as you know.
Right.
So the Skidmore County Jail, they call us, and we do a report, as we would anywhere else. And we charged him with aggravated battery because the injuries seemed severe. Ultimately, the injuries took his life. And so we're working with the state attorney's office to, they obviously know this now.
Yeah.
And they will, as I understand it, increase those charges related to the death, the homicide.
Only because you mentioned it, we seem to periodically have this question come up, you know, should the jail revert back to you guys? Obviously, the county took it away from the sheriff several years ago. Do you have a position on that? Do you want the jail back?
Do I want the jail back?
Do you want the jail back? Do you think it's better for the county if the sheriff's office runs the jail? Have you guys even had that conversation with the county lately?
I mean, we've got a whole new
board coming in, too. So.
Yeah, I have not. I've been pretty clear about the fact that I think that from a citizen and taxpayer standpoint, that the jail should be run by the sheriff. There's a reason that of the 67 counties, all but, I don't know, less than 10, the counties actually run the jail. By statute, the county is responsible for the jail, but typically what they will do is they will request that the sheriff or someone else become the chief corrections officer. By statute, you have to have one of those.
Okay.
And in this case, the county's running the jail. I'm not, do I want the jail? I just think that the sheriff should run the jail.
Okay.
I think there are efficiencies. You can get recruiting and training and everything from buying uniforms to transportation. Everything could be run a little bit more efficient, but that's entirely up to the Board of County of County Commissioners.
Yeah, just only because it came up, and obviously you were the assistant county administrator, and you were over corrections at the time, so you've got a lot of experience.
I was
in
that chief corrections
too.
Officer. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we also had, and pardon me, but I think this is probably the weirdest one of the week. There was a birthday party in Cantonment, and what I know about this is that a woman wound up chasing some kids with a butcher's knife.
Yeah, that's basically it. How crazy is this? So a lady decides that she is going decides for whatever reason that during a birthday party, and there were 11-year-olds, so I'm assuming the birthday party was for people that were about 11 to 12-year-olds.
Okay.
And she decides to chase some people around with a knife. Ends up cutting a 17-year-old in the hand. During this escapade, and at one point she is carrying a 1-year-old and chasing 11-year-olds with what is described as a butcher knife. That's crazy.
She's carrying a 1-year-old, running around chasing 11-year-olds with a butcher's knife at a kid's birthday party.
That's correct, and that's what she's in jail for.
Okay.
You know, who does that?
Yeah.
Well, the people that go to jail, who does that? That's who does it.
I hate to ask because I expect there's probably not an answer, but do we know why?
No.
Okay.
She was angered for some reason. Who knows? Okay. Birthday parties can be
apparently stressful or something. I mean, I don't. Okay. All right. I'm glad the only injury was cut to the hand and not something much worse. From
anybody. It could have been terrible.
Could have been a lot of bad things. Yeah. Right. All right. Well. Wow. Yeah. Don't know where to go with this one. I did want to ask you. There was a story out of I think it's Arkansas that has gotten a lot of headlines. The shortest version of it is that this family has a teenage daughter. I think she was either 13 or 14 last summer and apparently was raped by a guy who's significantly older, groomed, allegedly, 67-year-old man. They have a restraining order against him, order protection order against him. And apparently he's wanted for other crimes, and maybe the victim is also a witness to some of that or knows, has knowledge about that. So maybe. So the dad of the girl wakes up in the middle of the night and the dogs are barking and it's her dog and says, well, he shouldn't be barking, goes to her room. She's not there. They call 911. He gets in his truck, goes driving around, finds her in this guy's car. driving around the neighborhood. Here things are a little bit unclear, but apparently gets into some kind of a confrontation with him and winds up shooting this guy and killing him. And now the dad is being charged with at least manslaughter. Apparently he's a military guy. There's been, you know, she's tried to raise funds for him in his defense or whatever. I know everything depends on the circumstance. But thoughts?
My thoughts are that he shouldn't have been messing with a 13-year-old. He shouldn't have been violating a restraining order. He certainly should not have been in a car with her late at night. And here, he should have fought the dad. Seems to me like the dad was protecting himself. Now, I don't know all the scenario, all the situation, and all the, you know, nuances of the situation. But to me, as I said, the tie goes to the runner if one individual is, you know, trespassing on your property, or one individual is starting the fight, or one individual is doing some terrible things to your daughter. I don't think that you're going to get my sympathy as a sheriff if you put yourself in that situation, because I like to put myself in a situation of the reasonable person.
Right.
I like to put myself in a situation, you know, from a sheriff's standpoint, but also, hey, what about, you know, a father in this particular circumstance? Is it reasonable to think that his daughter was in danger to go to see them? Yes.
Right.
Is it reasonable to confront this guy? I think that you've got to do something to protect your family. And we talk about that a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
Is it reasonable to believe this guy tried to harm you? Sure.
Yeah, I you know, we talk a lot about, are you in fear of your life or the life or limb of somebody else? And, you know, being a dad, imagine your teenage daughter in this car late at night with a guy you believe raped her and has an order of protection out against him. I don't think there's anybody in the known universe that doesn't sympathize with the dad and doesn't think, what would I do in that circumstance? And, you know, it's hard to imagine a case where that guy comes out alive.
Yeah,
but you can't go vengefully executing right. The law. But if he did anything to participate in or threaten or menace or make the dad, you know, it's like, okay, like you said, tie goes to the runner, especially under these circumstances.
At the time you're rescuing your daughter.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, there's a confrontation and, you know, this guy has everything to lose.
Yeah.
You know, he's desperate. I would think that if anything, this investigation would take us a long time to investigate. We'd really have to look at every little piece of this.
And that's what I figured. I just wanted to, you know, it's always good to check my intuitions against, you know, what the expert, which yeah, is,
but it's like you said, I can't say go ahead and, you know, and assassinate somebody or kill
right.
somebody. That's not cool. But I do think that, when you look at the scenario, why are they there in the first place? Mm-hmm. And what's the scenario that brought them together? And then what is the most realistic, scenario? And that is that this guy was probably fighting him, you know, because he knew he was going to go to jail for a long time.
Right. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for keeping us informed and teaching us about the law all the time. And certainly for your deputies and all the work. No, seriously. I mean, I learned so much from doing this. So I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
And we'll let you know that our hurricane response team is heading back now.
Oh,
they've
good.
Completed
okay.
their tasks in Hillsborough County. And
this
obviously,
is team two.
Shout out to them.
This is the second
this
team.
Is the second one. First yeah. one was the Helene. It's the Milton squad to coming back today. So we're certainly proud of them.
We absolutely appreciate that. 552 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you need to service your import, you know, you've got a Lexus or a Honda, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a BMW, Genesis, or Jaguar, you can take it to the dealership. I mean, it's allowed, of course, but you don't have to take it to the dealership. There's actually a federal law protects you in being able to take that car anywhere you want. They can't require you to go to the dealership for foreign or domestic. But Bobby Likas, they work on these cars all the time. Domestics too, of course, your Chevy, your Ford, your GM, you know, no worries, your Dodge. They work on those. If it's a diesel engine, that's it's ever so slightly different. And so they work on those. Not everybody does. They work on the gas engines too, no problem. So you got your truck, you got your, again, the Mercedes, if it's the diesel engine, you know, that kind of thing. So Bobby Likas will take care of you with the preventative maintenance to try to make sure that you don't have to come back to him for the big thing. They do want to see you just a little bit more often for the routine stuff, so you don't have to see him for the massive, catastrophic, horrible stuff. That's why you call it preventative maintenance, is to get it before it's the big thing, right? Bring it to him healthy so you don't have to bring it to him broken. Located on Davis Highway in the classic location, they've been there forever, or now in their new location on US 29 across from the Walmart. Also, if you manage a fleet, like you've got a business and you've got a group of cars, they work on those. GSA Fleet, Merchants Fleet, Cox Automotive, Fleetio, Donlin, Enterprise Fleet Management, and more. So if you've got a group of cars you need to oversee the service on, they take care of you for that. Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and now on US 29 by the Walmart.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
When it comes to enhancing your outdoor experience, you need a companion that can keep up. The Kubota RTV at Parrish is your ultimate utility vehicle for every adventure. Prepping your deer plot or hauling gear, the RTV delivers powerful performance and versatility. Starting at $15,499 cash with a $2,000 rebate. Financing available as low as $285 a month for 72 months. Get your Kubota RTV today and let Parrish Tractor show you why they're more than a tractor store.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Beachoween is back on Friday from 4 to 8. Bring the family out to the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk to enjoy a free night of fun. Bounce houses, games, face painting, food, and
a Cat Country Kids costume contest.
This freaky fun event is brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce. Celebrate Beachoween on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk from 4 to 8 on Friday. It's Beachoween.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections. The general election is underway, and now is the time to make sure you have a say in this election. Election day is November 5th, and there are three ways you can vote. One, you can request a vote by mail ballot and return it by mail or leave it in a secure ballot intake station at any early voting site. Two, you can vote early at any one of our 10 area early voting sites from October 21st through November 2nd. And three, you can vote at your polling place on election day. Whatever you decide, just get out your vote.
For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Listen, if you were to rescue her, the reward would be...
What?
Well, more wealth than you can imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
You'll get it. I better. You will.
Oh, I got dozens and dozens of Gen X kids dancing in their cars right now. My jam! Where's the neon? 557 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. Do you remember when you were 17 or 18, you could go to the bar? 16, you can go to the bar. You don't remember those days? I mean, you couldn't drink. We weren't supposed to. But, you know, we still went. In high school, we're, I don't know, maybe it was different here, but that's how it was in
Illinois.
It was
different here.
It was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Different days. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
It just lets you get away with anything, huh?
No, it was fine. You know, as long as you're not. I mean, there were teen clubs. Like, there were clubs for kids to go dancing in high school.
I don't know.
Nothing? Iowa?
We hung out in cornfields.
Okay, all right.
That's
yeah.
really what we
guess
did.
I grew up in Chicago. It's a different world. Go on, sir.
Vice President Kamala Harris sitting down today for an exclusive interview with Fox News. Later today, she'll be taking questions from Brett Baier. That'll air at about 5 o'clock tonight from Pennsylvania. It's her first sit-down with Fox News.
Brett Baier, I really respect Brett Baier. He's a very, very good TV journalist, so this ought to be interesting.
Absolutely. After a review of the don't ask, don't tell policy, the Defense Department now granting honorable discharges to about 800 service members. That policy, of course, allowed LGBTQ individuals to serve if they didn't publicly talk about their sexual orientation. The Pentagon launched a review last year, and they are now altering some service members' records.
Yeah, something like 96%, I think, is the number I heard of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Expellees are now having their records fixed, or have had their records fixed, basically, after the fact. So